proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We look at God's covenant requirements of the Jewish people under the Mosaic Covenant, and they were required to serve God. This arrangement necessarily excluded any egalitarian relationship that might exist between God and the Jews. Under the Mosaic Covenant, God issued commandments for the Jewish people to obey. They did not possess the prerogative of doing likewise. In short, the Jewish people were God's servants. God was not their servant. From the beginning of Israel's history, God expected the Jewish nation to serve him. According to the 7th chapter of the book of Exodus, when God sent Moses to Egypt, he instructed the lawgiver to tell the Pharaoh that, quote, "The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness," unquote. In Exodus chapter 9, God twice ordered the Pharaoh of Egypt to, quote, "Let my people go, that they may serve me," unquote. God did not merely desire to set the Israelites free from Egyptian bondage. He intended to take them into his servants. Moses' successor, Joshua, likewise charged his Jewish contemporaries to serve God. Toward the end of his life, in Joshua 24, he enjoined them that, quote, "If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve," unquote. Joshua continued by affirming that, quote, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," unquote. What did such service to God entail? The Hebrew word abad, translated as serve, could depict the bestowal of labor to someone. The first chapter of Exodus revealed how, quote, "The Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve abad, to serve with rigor," unquote. Such rigor being described further in that chapter as, quote, "hard bondage," unquote. The word abad could also indicate subjugation to another power, as it did in 1 Samuel chapter 11, in connection with how the men of Jabesh-Gilead responded to the Ammonite king Nahash's demand that they surrender unto him. God also informed the Jewish nation as to how he wanted them to serve him. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, he told them that they needed to yield to him, quote, "with all your heart and with all your soul," unquote. A statement which was echoed in Joshua chapter 22. The narrative contained in Deuteronomy chapter 28 implied that the Jewish people needed to serve God, quote, "with joyfulness and with gladness of heart," unquote. In the second psalm, David exhorted his hearers to, quote, "serve the Lord with fear," unquote. If they did so and feared God in their service, God promised to bless the Jewish people. According to Exodus chapter 23, he told Moses, quote, "Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee," unquote. God requires dedicated service from his people and the Christians. Jesus Christ instructed his disciples in Luke 16 that, quote, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other," unquote. Furthermore, the Savior concluded, quote, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon," unquote. Believers therefore need to present their bodies to God as their reasonable service, as Paul put it in Romans chapter 12. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of the Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.